If you'll go ahead and open up your Bibles this morning, 1 Peter chapter 2, and Brother Cleo is going to come, and he's going to start reading in verse number 21, and then we're going to go on down through chapter 3 and verse number 8. And so you all be ready for that, and Brother Cleo, you come and read for us.
For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth? Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again? When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body, on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, and of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous.
Well, I did forewarn the ladies on Father's Day when I was talked to the men on Mother's Day. And ladies, be patient with me, don't get the tar and feather going until you hear everything, all right? And we're going to go ahead to the Lord in prayer, and then I'm going to share with you what God has laid upon my heart. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer, and we thank you so much, Lord, for those who have come. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have here this morning, Lord, to pray. Lord, to come and open up your word, to look into your word, Lord, to see where we are, where we should be. Lord, your word is to help us to see where we are and where we need to go, and Lord, things we need to change. And Father, I just pray that you would help us today. Lord, I pray for anyone that might be among us today, Lord, that is not saved, that does not know you as their personal Savior. Lord, I pray that today would be the day that they would accept you and as their personal Savior. And Father, I pray that you would just move in a mighty way amongst our midst. Lord, I pray for those, Lord, who are here and they're carrying a burden. Lord, I pray that you would help lift their load today. Lord, help us to be sensitive to what their need is, and Lord, in fulfilling that. And Father, I just thank you for all that you're going to do. And Lord, I thank you for all that you're doing in our lives, Lord, and we'll thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, fellas, afterwards, lest I forget to say anything, Miss Tammy asked a few people, a few men, what would you rather have for Father's Day? A little trinket, something to add to the desk, or put in a drawer that you don't use, or something to eat. And it was an overwhelming something to eat. So, and lest I forget, all the men here this morning, Tammy made you some cookies. And so And we will put those out afterwards. And again, whether you are a father or not, if you're a man here this morning, you are welcomed. And if, you know, I can just be your son today, all right? Want to encourage you in that way. I wanted to kind of bring a lesson here this morning. And first of all, let me start here, because I want to be careful. In today's society, in Hollywood, the women's movement that happened several years ago, really kind of changed the course of family. And I got to honestly say, changed it not in a good way. It was a change out of selfishness, out of things contrary to the Bible. And what Hollywood did is Hollywood made things of the Word of God cheap. They made words like submission or subjection. They made it what it was not. And they made it what God did not intend. And I do remember growing up as a child, we would hear a lot about, I shouldn't say a lot, but there would be messages preached on women submitting and all that kind of stuff. And sometimes I kind of picked up, when I would listen to the tone of some preachers, what that meant was the wife's position was 10 paces behind her husband. She was to cower at his every demand, she didn't have a couple of years ago, I was in a church where they had a business meeting and the women were not allowed to speak during the business meeting. Because women are to be under subjection, they're to be under the authority of a man. The thing about it is what's really sad is, even though I believe with all my heart some of that was well meant, it was mispresented. Today I'm going to talk to you ladies about submission. I'm going to talk to you about subjection. But I put all of that ahead of time so that you all don't just turn the switch off and say, hey, we're not listening to him. Because I want you to understand, as I was talking to the young people today, we've been going through a lesson as far as the Word of God. There's doctrines in the Bible. There's things that are put in the Bible to help make our lives better. Help make our lives more efficient, to help make our lives to be more peaceful. What we're going to talk about today is all about a relationship. If we take what was taught years ago, and then we take what we have today and how Hollywood and a woman's movement changed things, and if we look at the record, we have fewer homes now today than we have ever had years ago. When I look at that and I think about that, that obviously tells me that change was not a good change. Because again, what it did is it caused ladies to feel bad about the position that they held in their home and made them to feel belittled and not as important. I was growing up during that time, and they would talk about the super mom, go out and work 80 hours a week and come home and make sure all the meals were cooked and the house went really well. And see, Hollywood played right along with that too, just like today with some of the other things that we're facing with homosexuality and gay marriage and all that kind of stuff. Hollywood shows us these perfect homes, how it's all working out and everything is really good and everything is really rosy and cherry, when we all know that is the furthest thing from the truth. Actually, it's just another subject, but I won't go too far down this road, but given a statistic on that, over 75% of the folks who fall into that category nowadays of homosexuality and same-sex marriage and all that kind of stuff, over a 75% suicide rate amongst that group of people. So you know what that tells me? it isn't all as cherry and peachy and as wonderful as Hollywood would make us think it is. And again, going back to the home, Hollywood made dirty what God intended for good. And I want to kind of share some things with you here this morning and just give you some things in here. And I'm going to start in chapter 3 of 1 Peter. And I want to show you some things here. And I believe it will help us understand a lot of things here. Verse number 3 says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives." Now, what's really interesting, to really understand what chapter 3 is talking about, you've got to pay close attention to that word likewise. The word likewise there really changes the dynamics of everything that's in there. Why is the word likewise there? Well, because what that's talking about is an example. Ladies, follow the example. Okay? What example is it talking about? One of the reasons I had Brother Cleo go back and read in chapter 2, because that's the example to follow. And let's look at the example before we go any further. The Bible says, and go back to verse number 21, "For even whereunto they were, where ye called, Christ, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." Now, ladies, what happened here, and what Peter is getting, what Paul is getting across here, what Peter's getting across here in the Word of God, is wanting you to draw your attention to, in the example of how you should be in your life according to what Jesus was, or what Jesus is. Now again, so that we understand that the Lord, and so that we understand that everything that the Lord Jesus Christ did, we're going to kind of back up and go over that a little bit, and then we'll get to it. But it says, "Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps." Now here it starts to tell about what he did. "Who did no sin, neither guile found in his mouth." Talking about the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what's really interesting, if you go over into verse number 1 in chapter 3, the latter part of the verse, it says, "They also may without word..." They without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Now, what it's talking about there is the people that it's talking about is the man. And again, it's talking about a wife being under subjection to her own husband. That and then follow this here in verse number 3, that if any obey not the word. So you know what the word of God's talking about there? It's talking about a man who's not following the Lord, a man who is not saved. How does a wife that is saved reach her husband who is not saved? And that's what this verse is talking about. And it's very important that you understand that. And it says here, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Now, as we go back here and we look at verse number 22 in chapter 2, the example that was given here, who did no sin. Now, who are we talking about here? We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was guilty of nothing. He did no sin. Neither was there guile found in his mouth. So his conversation, everything that he was exposed to, everything that he experienced, there was no guile, there was no wrong found in him. Now, verse number 23, who when he was reviled, reviled not again when he suffered. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteousness. So again, we go back to that example, and what it's telling us there, in a nutshell, that the Lord Jesus Christ hung on the cross and died for sins that he was not guilty of doing. Also, during that process, the Bible says that there was no guile found in his mouth, and so when he was spoken evil against, he never spoke evil back. And then it goes on to say when he was reviled, when he was yelled at, and of course we understand that when he was hanging on the cross, chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees, they would go by, they'd wag their heads, they'd look up at the Lord Jesus Christ and say, if you're God, if you're the Son of God, if you're who you say you are, then come down off that cross. Well, we know and understand it is because who he is, he needed to stay on the cross. And he needed to die because he was the one that was the key. He was the one that would be able to offer salvation for the world. Could he have gotten down off the cross? Sure, he could have. The Bible speaks of the legions of angels that were encamped around. All the Lord Jesus Christ would have had to say is, I'm done with this. I'm going home to the Father. And it would have been all over. He could have. But why did he stay there? Because he was committed and he was under subjection, we'll put it that way, of the Father to do a job that only he could do. And you see, this is the example that in chapter number 3 that likewise is talking about. And so what the Bible's telling us here, ladies, is what God expects from you, or what God is challenging you to do, is be like Jesus. Be in subjection to the plan, God's plan. And why? Because there's a job that only you can do and no one else can do. And I'll tell you what, from experience, the few times that I've had to do it, when my wife has been out of commission, I wouldn't want her job, and her job's a whole lot harder than my job, and I wouldn't want her job for anything in the world. But here the example is for the wife is looking back at what the Lord Jesus Christ done and how Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world, and how during the whole process and everything that was going on, there was no guile in his mouth. And when he was reviled, he didn't give back reviled. And then verse number 23, it says, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. So what he's saying here, when opportunity, when he was threatened, when he was hanging there, what he did is he committed himself to God and to what God's plan was, and to what God's plan was for the salvation of the world. In verse number 24, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. Okay, now see what's happening here. See what the Lord Jesus Christ did. The Bible says, who his own self, the Lord Jesus Christ, bore our sins. Ladies, a lot of times, I will agree, you get the raw end of the deal. You get the raw end of the deal. You know, many nights at my home, when supper's done, so am I, but Tammy's not. You know, the dishes still need to get in the dishwasher. The dishes still need to be run. Supper has to be cleaned up. There's a lot of things that she does and continues to do that I don't do. And you say, well, what does that have to do with verse number 24? Who his own self bore our sins. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ had a job to do that we could not do. And he bore our sins, and he bore them on the tree. And it says, and then it goes on to say that we, being dead in sin, should live in righteousness. And again, the example here is showing what the Lord Jesus Christ did, how he responded to the circumstances. And it says, by whose stripes ye were healed. Because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did, and how he submitted and he put himself under subjection of God and God's plan, what happened is many were saved. I'm one of them. And everyone has the opportunity to receive the gospel. And then verse number 25, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd, and that's capitalized, so it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd and the bishop of your soul. Now again, what's it speaking of there? What Jesus did gave the opportunity for us to be restored and us to return back to the shepherd and the bishop of our soul. Now it ends there talking about Jesus and everything that he did on the cross. And then it says, likewise, ye wives. So what he's saying is, okay, ladies, the example that you're to follow is Jesus Christ. And how he suffered and how he was treated unjustly. But yet his response was not negative. When he could have gotten out of his situation, he didn't get out of it. He stayed there. So it says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband. Now, fellas, we'll go back to this. That's not saying your wife walks 10 paces behind you. If your wife is 10 paces behind you and you treat her lower than yourself, you're a dirty, rotten scoundrel. And you ought to be ashamed of yourself, and you need to get up here and fall on your face before God and repent. Because that's not what it's talking about. That's not what it's talking about. Now, again, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection. And again, I kind of wrote that down so that we would understand it a little bit. Subjection, the act of subduing, the act of vanquishing and bringing under the dominion of authority. And now what's really interesting is, and as we've talked about this before, this is something that is between the husband, or is between the wife and God. And the wife, the Bible says here, is to be in subjection to her own husband. Now, one of the purposes of that for, one of the reasons for that is that if any obey not the word, and that's talking about a lost man, or we can even kind of stretch that just a little bit further, talking about a husband that is not living the way he should and not doing the things that he should do. And especially if the husband's lost, it says that if any obeying not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. You know what that's saying? Ladies, You may have a lost husband, or you may have a husband that's not doing right and should do right, but nagging him to death isn't going to fix it. How you fix it and what you do about it is you respond back and keeping yourself where you need to be, because by the conversation, even though they're not seeing or reading the word, you know what they're seeing? They're seeing the word. They're not hearing the word, or they're not reading the word, but what they're doing is they're seeing the word in action. They're seeing the wife, no matter what, doing what she's supposed to do. And that's very important. First of all, it brings salvation, the possibility of salvation, and helps the man that is not obeying the word to, by her words, hearing by conversation of the wives. Verse number 2. While they behold your chastened conversation coupled with fear. Okay, verse number 2 explains how it's done. While they, the husband that's not doing what he's supposed to do, the husband that's not following the word, the husband that needs to get saved, it says, while they behold your chastened conversation coupled with fear. Now that fear is not afraid you're going to get whomped. That fear is your reverence and love toward your husband. Even though he may not be doing what he's supposed to do, you're doing what you're supposed to do. And by doing that, what the Word of God says is he's hearing the Word of God. You know, again, sometimes I think what happens to a lot of married couples, and I'll be real careful how I say this because you all will repeat this, is sometimes, ladies, we think nagging is the best way to get something done. You know what happens when I get nagged? All right, men, I know I'm stepping out here, okay? So you guys watch my back after church. When I get nagged, I get more resistant. It doesn't help me move any faster. It doesn't help me get that job done. What it does is it makes me more determined not to do it. It helps me think of more excuses on why I shouldn't do it than what I should do it. And again, what the Bible's saying here is you can catch a whole lot more bees or flies with honey than you can with vinegar. And so are bees with honey, however that saying goes. And it says, while they beholding your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Now that doesn't mean, ladies, I'm not talking about you should walk around the house all day long bowing down at your husband's feet. And you know, again, we're not talking about that. But what we're talking about is a husband and a wife working together. You see, what this is this is a pattern and a setup for a relationship. Because when the husband does what he's supposed to do, and the wife does what she's supposed to do, you know what happens? You grow together. You walk together. You know, I praise the Lord in testimony of what God has done in my life and in Tammy's life. We've been married for 33 years. And I'll be honest with you folks. Now, has there been times when we've not agreed with a certain item? Well, obviously. But I can count on one hand how many times we've gotten a fight over it in 33 years. You say, well, now, and I've had people tell me, oh, no, you know, you're lying. You're not telling the truth. I really am. Because there's something that Tammy and I, we committed to doing when we got married. You know what we do when we get mad at each other? We stop and we consider why we're mad. You know what I find out most of the time? 99.9% of the time? I'm mad because I'm not getting my way. I'm not getting what I want. I'm not getting what I think I should have. You know, the problem isn't with Tammy. The problem is with me. And so what I try to do is I try my best to deal with it that way. And on the rare occasion that it's because I have a legitimate reason to get angry, we work it out. Now, sometimes, do we got to kind of walk away? Yes, we are a normal couple, believe it or not. But you see, what we determined a long time ago is, as a married couple, is we would have a relationship. We would follow the example, the likewise example of what God had set before us. Now, again, are we perfect in it? Do we have it down pat? No, but I'll tell you what, we have had a wonderful marriage for the last 33 years. And if I had to do it all over again, I'd do it all over again with the same gal. I wouldn't trade her in for nothing in the world. And again, what that does is that makes our home peaceful. That makes our home calm. Because again, what's happening in our marriage is both of our needs getting met. And so now we'll go on here, and I'll see if I can't dig myself in a little bit further, all right? And verse number 3 says, whose dominion, let it not be that outward adoring of plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold and the putting on of apparel. So again, what Peter is getting across to the ladies that he is speaking to, not the outside. We're not talking about the outside. We're not talking about the hair and the clothes and putting on the pearls and the gold and the jewels and looking good on the inside. It's a little deeper than that. You know, we've all heard the saying, you know, a beauty is skin deep and ugly goes all the way to the bone. That's kind of what is, you know, it's talking about here. And helping ladies understand, it doesn't come from without. It comes from within. And it's not about what you put on the outside. Verse number 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart. You see, we've talked about this a lot, and it comes up a lot in the Word of God. It talks about the heart. You know, the heart is what gets something done. When someone takes it to their heart and they decide that, hey, I'm going to make this work no matter what, you know what happens? It works. But when we do it from without, we're looking for disaster. We're looking for trouble. We're looking for problems. But the Bible says, let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible. You know, from within side, that relationship, ladies, that you have with God is very important. That relationship that you have with God is not corrupted. And it says here, in that which is not corrupted. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. You know, ladies, and you know, thinking about what goes on in our worlds today and the woman's movement that came in years ago, has it really done any good? Has it really done any good? When in your home you're demanding your rights and you're screaming and hollering to the top of your lungs and or nagging or whatever you want to call it, is it really getting anything done? No, because what it's doing is it's separating. It's separating. And so I want to encourage you, follow the example. And again, now Father's Day, ladies, I got on them, or Mother's Day, I got on the men pretty good, all right? And you know, so don't tar and feather me just yet, all right? The Bible says here, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. Okay, likewise, what example are we following? The relationship that you have with God, what's in your heart, in that which is not corruptible. You see, when you lean on God and God's Word and the Holy Spirit's leading in your life, that's not corruptible. The devil can't get into that. The devil can't contaminate that. You know what the devil can do? The devil can do stuff with the outside, but he can't do anything with the inside. It's not corruptible. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, a great price. You know, God says, hey, the most valuable thing that you have is a meek, quiet spirit. Now, am I saying that doesn't mean you can't have an opinion? No, because any man that does not listen to his wife is a fool. Now, that doesn't mean that you will do everything she says. But if you don't pay attention to what she says, you're a fool. You really are. Because they think different than we do. They feel different than when we do. They see things we don't see. And when we don't pay attention to what they have to say, fellas, we wind up getting ourselves in a mess. The wife's position in her submission and subjection is to help keep things balanced. You know, there's many times I'll say something to my wife, and I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, and she'll say, now, wait a minute, have you really thought that through? And she'll bring up things that I never thought of. You know, important things, you know, that I never give a thought to. You know, it's like when God, you know, spoke to our hearts and called us to the mission field. Hey, when God put it on my heart, I was raring and ready to go. Nothing else was important. You know, my wife, it wasn't that she wasn't willing to go. She's, well, have you thought about this? Well, how are we going to work this out? You know, how are we going to school the kids? Or, you know, don't we need to take this type of furniture over there? Or you know, and what I'm getting at is what she did is she helped me balance out and make the transfer of what was going on. Now, I could have just looked at her and said, huh, and I know a missionary that did this. You'll do what I tell you to, and you'll like it. Well, she went. But she didn't stay. There's a lot of missionaries that go to the field. When they come home, I know of a young missionary couple now, and it breaks my heart. They went over to the field and didn't do things as they should have done. They wound up coming back, and they're not even married anymore. How can someone surrender to going to a mission field, come back, and wind up cheating on his wife and divorcing her? How did it get that far? Where did it get that far? Well, you see, there was a breakdown in the relationship. You see, when a wife submits, you know, ladies, we can't lift you to our side where you need to be if you're not submitted. You say, well, why do I have to be submitted in order to get that done? It's a relationship. I can't do my part in the relationship if you're not doing your part in the relationship. You say, well, I don't want to submit. I don't want to do what that ornery man tells me to do. I'm my own person. Well, you see, when you've got that, when that attitude is there, first of all right, I'm going to duck. That's a rebellious attitude. And again, what, and again, the reason I bring that out, because what does that show us? It shows us the condition of your heart. And husbands can't do their part if wives are not doing their part. And I thank the Lord. I learned these things early on when I was a young man in Bible college, single. And I used to look at the men that were married, and I'm telling you the truth. I'd look at them. I said, I feel sorry for you guys. I said, because you got to go back and you got to try to fix all this stuff. And you know, fixing something that's broke generally is never the same as when you start out right. And I used to tell the men there, I'm glad I get to start out right. Now I've broken some things along the way, ladies, and I'm going to break some more things before it's all over. But submitting, it's not a degrading thing. I don't see it that way. I don't preach it that way, and I will defend that to the end. It's not a degrading thing. Don't pay attention to what Hollywood says, because you know what you know what Hollywood's out for. They're out for your wallet. They're out to get money from you. And they'll get it and take it any way they can get it. They'll lie. They don't care. They'll lie and be deceptive. Anything to get you to buy in and buy what they have to sell. Well, I'll tell you what, you'd be a whole lot better just turn it off and never watch it again. Because what they show you is not successful. If it was successful, there would not be a 70% divorce rate amongst Christians in churches. Now, we're not even talking about the world. You know the average marriage in the world amongst lost people lasts less than 2 years? Hey, it's working out, ain't it? And then what happens is that divorce happens, and they go marry someone just like they divorced, and then a couple of years later, they're divorcing that one because it didn't work. Well, then they go out and they marry another one, and then they divorce that one because, well, it's a cycle. And it doesn't work. It won't work. It never will work. In order for it to work, both husband and wife need to be where they need to be, doing what they need to be doing. And it's about a relationship. It's about the hidden, the uncorruptible man, the Spirit of God that's in your heart. In verse number 5, for after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adored themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. And I'll kind of go through this quick here. First example was likewise, follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies, the second example was, look at the Old Testament ladies. And then it comes right out and says here in verse number 6, talks about Sarah and how she obeyed Abraham. I mean, think about it. Going down into Egypt. Ladies, put yourself in this position. And your husband says, you're beautiful, darling, but I don't want him to kill me, so you tell him my sister, and I'm going to go ahead and just let them do whatever they want with you so that they don't kill me. Now, I'm reading your minds, ladies. Ain't never going to happen. I'll kill him first. And that should be. But you know what Sarah did? She obeyed her husband. But you know what God did? God stepped in and said, I don't think so. I don't think so, Pharaoh. You know, you never can. I don't think so. You're not going to get what you think you're going to get. And he intervened. Now, verse number 7, and I'll wrap it up here. Men, likewise, ye husbands. You know what that likewise is? Follow your wife's example. As she does her part, and she submits, likewise, men, do your part. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to the knowledge. What knowledge? Of what you know you're supposed to do. Of what the Word of God says. It says, dwell with them according to knowledge. Now pay close attention to this one, fellas. Giving honor unto the wife because she is the weaker vessel. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, did y'all catch that? Did you catch what I said? It wasn't what it says. That's what I said, but it's not how it reads. It says, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. You know what, wives, men? You know what the Bible's telling us here? Your wife may not be the weaker vessel. She may be stronger than you spiritually. She may and probably is smarter than you. But you know what you're supposed to do? You're to give honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Again, it goes back to position. You're to treat her like she's a delicate, precious flower that you're going to protect from anything and everything. Now, she might be able to beat you up. But you just go on ahead and you pretend like she can't. And you protect her at all costs. Because you know what? It says, likewise here, ye husbands. You know what we're doing? We're following the example that our wives set. That meek voice. That giving herself. Sacrificing. Going over and above and beyond the call of duty. Giving us men what most of the time we don't deserve. You say, well, I worked all day. I'm tired. I come home, I want my meal, and I want to sit down in my easy chair and bless God. She's my wife. That's her job to do the rest of it. Well, she's worked all day too. And bless God, get off your lazy tail and get your own cup of coffee. Come on, brother. Come on. Because you know what it's about, church? It's about a relationship. It's about having a relationship. It's about giving, and it's about taking. It's about both man and wife giving 100%. And if I've said it once, I'll say it again and many times over. If you're not giving 100% into the marriage, husband, and wife, if you're not giving 100% into the marriage, it'll never make it. Her needs, husband, should be your first responsibility over the children. Wives, his needs should be your first responsibility over the children. Now, wait a minute. Children need to be taken care of. Don't build your home on the children. Because the children, if you raise them right, will leave and should leave. And you're going to be looking at the one for the rest of your life until death do you part. So it would be my great recommendation that you build a good relationship now instead of waiting until after the kids are gone and you have nothing left. You know, I love empty nesting. I love it when the grandkids come and when the kids come over and visit, and I love it more when they leave. But it's about a relationship. It says that men, that we are to honor our wives as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, brethren, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courageous. You know why it's so very important for us as a church to have strong marriages? Because this church will not be any stronger than the strongest married couple in this church. It just won't be. We need to work on the family, because it's the family that builds the church. It's the family that the church succeeds on. And if the home isn't right, the church won't be either. And so I want to encourage you, husbands and wives, love each other. Don't be afraid, ladies, to take the position that God has designed you for. Men, don't be afraid to take the position that God has designed you for. You do your job when she does her job. Men, it's not your responsibility to make her submit. Don't try it. Oh, please. Don't try it. It won't work. It won't work. But when she does, you pull her up before she gets to her knees, and you put her right by your side. And you know what you'll have? You'll have a good marriage. You'll have a wife that'll be bending over backwards to make sure that you're taken care of. You know, if she's got to spend all her time fighting to get your attention and fighting to get taken care of, you're not going to have much of a marriage. And wives, if your husband's spending all of his time trying to get through the children and the dirty diapers and the spit up, or all of the teenage junk, it's not going to be a happy home. Husbands and wives, build on each other. Be where you need to be, do what you need to do, and I guarantee you, you'll have a happy marriage. Won't be perfect, because there ain't none of us in here that are. But it'll be a happy marriage. And so I want to encourage you. Dads, your home and your children turning out good depends on what mom and dad does. Now again, I know everybody has a free will. And sometimes children make bad decisions after they leave home. But you know how you lessen that? You give them a good example. And you rely on the grace of God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we go into our invitation time. Lord, I don't know what you're doing amongst our people. Lord, I thank you for the men that you have sent our way. Lord, I thank you for their willingness to follow you. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, that you would just be with our men today. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, as fathers to and as men to make wise decisions. Lord, I want our church to be strong. Lord, I want our church to be known as faithful. But Lord, the only way that that's going to happen is when men stand up and do what they're supposed to do. And Father, I pray and thank you for our ladies. Lord, I thank you for their sacrifice. Lord, I thank you for their hard work. Lord, I think of my own wife and, Lord, what she does, and I thank you for it. Now, Father, most of all, I pray if there be anybody among us that does not know you as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that they follow the example that you gave on the cross, Lord, when you died and gave and paid for their sin. Lord, help us to come to you and know you as our personal Savior, Lord, those who are not saved. And Lord, I count it a privilege to be able to show anybody that wants to be saved how to be saved. And bless during this invitation. In your name we pray. Amen.